Welcome back, everybody, to the Evolve You podcast. I am your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, an executive health coach, consultant, doctor of pharmacy, and entrepreneur. And within this podcast, we will be bringing you exciting episodes discussing health, business, and personal development to evolve you into the best version of yourself. So with that being said, let's hop into this episode. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Evolve You podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brian McElderry, and I am so grateful that you are tuning in again yet with us. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you would love to share it with a friend, that'd be awesome. This is how we spread the movement and bring more and more value to you to evolve you into the best version of yourself. So as always, you guys hear enough from me, and I love to bring exciting information for you to any guests that come on. And today we have an awesome guest, my brother, a good friend of mine, a fellow entrepreneur, and he is doing some amazing things. And I am so excited to bring you this. As you already seen, you've seen the topic, and this is something a little bit different. It may intrigue you, and it may give you some serious value as well. So I'm going to welcome on our guest, Brandon Miller, or for anybody that knows him more closely, B. Mills, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, man. So, guys, I'm going to first introduce Brandon. I'm going to keep it, you know, professional here, but we might dive in a little bit more and get more comfortable. So I hope you guys are okay with that. So we're going to introduce Brandon. He's a tech consultant, 9 to 5. Most people might know that. Some people might not. If you're new to a podcast, now you know. But he's also a social entrepreneur, and he's doing some great things in this space. And I'm going to let him speak a little bit about it. But Brandon, you have 3 nonprofits, correct?
I have 2 nonprofits.
Two nonprofits, yes. Let's get that correct. Yeah. And he's got a brand as well that, you know, is killing it with merch and other things that he's just spreading movement and empowerment and just passion to other people that are looking to step outside of themselves and to be that great person they're looking to be. So tell us a little bit about all those things that you're doing in the social space. And then, guys, we're going to dive into what he's doing his 9 to 5 as well.
No, absolutely. So yeah, as you said, juggle a couple different things. So as you mentioned, I have 2 social nonprofits focusing on community uplift. So the first one is called the Black Burdell. I co-founded it with 2 of my friends right after college, and the purpose of this organization is to promote, support, and cultivate young Black entrepreneurs. So we really focus on high school students, college students, and recent graduates. As an entrepreneur myself, you know, I kind of realized the struggles and like the difficulties when it comes to starting a business. So we founded that nonprofit to help young entrepreneurs really grow and scale their business and be successful and create a community. The second nonprofit that I founded is actually out here in Dallas, co-founded with 2 of my good friends out here, Bola and Brian, and it's called the 2Fly Foundation. So growing up through school, I loved travel. So this nonprofit is all about providing passports and travel grants to students and underserved communities so they can travel abroad as well. And we do that through fundraisers and different type of events across the country. So that's also a great nonprofit that I really love and appreciate. And I see it's really receptive in the community as well. And lastly, as you mentioned, I don't want to keep rambling. I founded the Be Great brand, and that is kind of a personal brand turned motivational branding agency, where I help people kind of find what it is that they're passionate about and like what they want to be great at, and help elevate and inspire and motivate them to make their dreams a reality pretty much. And I also help with branding and graphic design and helping build content to mobilize your brand. So I think I hit everything outside of my 9 to 5. As you see, I kind of juggle a lot of different things.
So, yeah. So B, you touched on some things that you're doing right now in your nonprofits. So can you expand about that a little bit more and what they are, what made you get into those nonprofits, and how people can maybe be a part of them?
Yeah. So I've always had an affinity for like service. It's kind of how I grew up. So like I remember like elementary school, probably even before then, like my mom would have us doing community service on the weekends, or like we would be in community service organizations. So I always grew up kind of with that give back, help others mindset. And I've touched on this before too, is like, I grew up in a great kind of space. Like that's uncommon. Well, I shouldn't say uncommon, but I grew up very fortunate, I should say. And I never like really had to want for anything. I never had to like, you know, everybody has their struggles, but like I felt like I was just born into like a very blessed kind of environment.
Yeah.
And like my mentality now is like, you grew up blessed to be a blessing to others. So like, make sure that you have a component of giving back and helping others and uplifting your community in whatever it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I just had an affinity for nonprofits, especially within, you know, being a minority myself. I want to make sure that I'm pouring into my community, and, you know, people that look like me, people that are disadvantaged or underserved. So both of my nonprofits really focus on that community, whether it be the Black Burdell, where I'm helping to kind of solve, at least in my head, like the economic gap between you know, with minorities and starting businesses and growing and scaling their businesses. So that's what I'm really targeting with that organization. And then with Two Fly, I'm pouring back into, you know, the underserved community or people that don't know how to travel abroad or don't have the resources to do so. Like one of the things that I learned is there's so many people, especially I was talking to a student from Prairie View, which is a historically Black college in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me how they wanted to study abroad. They got a scholarship to study abroad, so they didn't even have tuition. They just couldn't afford the plane ticket and the passport. So really that's what the organization is targeting, is to help kind of bridge that gap and help people that want to travel abroad be able to do so.
Wow. I know I had my struggles. I haven't traveled that much, so.
It's okay. We're going to get some stamps on the passport.
Yeah, that needs to happen. And I think that's something that people are maybe looking to just learn more about you, man. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about all the great things you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just the passion behind and your true love for what you do in both spaces. Brandon has his 9-to-5 that he's doing in his consulting. And he's also in the diversity and inclusion space within his 9-to-5. And we can touch on that a little bit. So absolutely. Tell us a little bit about more about what you're doing in your 9-to-5. And then we can dive into some questions from there.
No, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, me having a 9-to-5, it's like a little known fact. Like people don't realize that. Yeah. I have a full-time job. But after I graduated, I went to Georgia Tech, where I studied biomedical engineering. I decided that I wanted to get more into like the business space, and consulting was a good transition from engineering to business. So what I do is I'm an IT consultant, where I focus on implementation, operations, and a little bit of management and strategy work for life science companies. So you can think of those as like your pharmaceutical companies or your medical device companies in that space, as well as the consumer product space. So your retail companies, your consumer good companies and things like that. So a lot of work in kind of the behind the scenes of what's going on behind a lot of the brands that you guys use, and the medicines that you use and the pharmaceuticals that you use. I help with the strategy behind the scenes, IT strategy. In addition, I wear another hat at my company where I lead our diversity council. So with this, I work on a lot of internal initiatives to help kind of bolster the inclusion within our firm, the how we hire, how we retain our employees, what type of programming and marketing that we use to make sure that we're equitable. And I'm starting to do a lot more work taking that outside of our company. So
yeah.
Spreading that D&I kind of perspective to some of our clients.
Wow. So what do you think is, and let's dive into the diversity portion first, and then mm-hmm. we can move into more the tech space and how our future of healthcare is looking. So what do you think is the biggest, first of all, issue in our 9-to-5 or corporate space where diversity is maybe more lacking?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that look going forth? And maybe dive in a little bit more, if you can, what you're doing in that space to create that inclusion.
No, absolutely. And kind of what I've seen, I'm new. I've always been passionate about diversity and like how employees feel in the workplace. Because studies show that if employees feel comfortable, they feel like they can be their authentic self in the workplace, they're going to do better work. Like they're Agreed. Not kind of putting on a mask, and there's a lot of pressure in like putting on a mask and feeling like you have to act a certain way in the workplace that's actually detracting from the work that you're actually doing. So what I would say is, you know, D&I has been around, you know, for a long time. Recently, there's been a lot more discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of the kind of sexual misconduct type of things that you're seeing at a lot of these big companies. And you're also seeing the pressure for especially IT companies and soon, I think, healthcare companies as well, to kind of report on their diversity numbers, like how many minorities are at your firm or your company. How are they kind of matriculating through your company? How do they feel? Are they engaged? Are they leaving after a couple of years? And there's a lot more pressure and accountability on these companies to start reporting on that. And I think kind of transitioning into to this year and a little bit of last year, the biggest thing is going to be focusing on true engagement and authenticity of your employees. A lot of companies try to put like Band-Aid, like compliance solutions, like,
exactly.
We need more black people, so let's hire some more black people, right?
Yeah.
We need more women, so let's just hire some more women. Yeah, that might solve the problem in the immediate like future or the immediate, you know, year. But if these employees aren't staying, then that's a whole nother problem. So it's focusing on what type of sustainable like initiatives and practices can we implement to keep our employees and to encourage them to be them their authentic selves in the workplace. So I think there's going to be a lot more accountability on that. And another thing that I'm starting to see is kind of transitioning into the accountability conversation is company leadership is going to be held accountable for making successes and making strides. You know, I'm seeing like, I think Microsoft ties their executive bonuses to how they are doing with their diversity, like KPIs or key performance indicators. So equity and initiatives and then accountability, I think, are going to be the two big things.
Wow.
Sorry, I was rambling. Like,
No. Shut up.
I can talk about that all day.
No. That's what I wanted. As you see, guys, that's why we have him on. I talk a lot, too, so I like to remove myself and give the platform to our guests. And let's transition a little bit. How are you using your 9-to-5 maybe as a learning space to... you know, fund, so to speak, these other adventures or other endeavors, I should say.
I think, like, first and foremost, a lot of people don't like their 9-to-5, and that's a thing. I really like my 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I like my company. I like the work that I'm doing. I'm interested in in like what we're doing. So it's, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they kind of they have the mindset of, I have a 9-to-5. It's a means to an end. I'm going to try and, you know, do my entrepreneurship full time. And I'm all for that if that's what you want to do. But for me, my businesses supplement my 9-to-5.
Exactly.
They're how I kind of execute some of my passions that I'm not fulfilling in my 9-to-5. So I think that's the first thing. The second is I always tell people, use what you have to get what you want. So I'm leveraging being at a company that's very transparent, you know, I'm very invested in my company, to just learn like leadership skills, learning how to manage teams, learning how to work with clients, learning like different processes and trends that I can then either apply to my businesses or help educate others on how to apply it to their businesses.
Yeah.
Like I deal with a client 5 days out the week
in
my 9-to-5. I deal with a client when I'm doing branding consulting outside of my 9-to-5.
Exactly.
So like applying the principles and like the lessons learned when I have the mentorship, I have the support, I have the advisors that can help coach me.
Yeah.
And I take that and pour that back into my business.
Yeah. I think that's a huge thing. I think that's something that I had to learn how to do. And I think it's something if you're a listener here looking to transition, what does that look like for you in your space? For me, it was counteractive because my morals and my values were not there on what I'm trying to transition to. So you kind of have to work with that. And again, you can always learn those leadership skills, right? Or how to manage teams. And I think that's one thing that people are maybe looking and just coming in and doing and not being in that space. And I think that's something to kind of touch on. So how are you, you know, I guess evolving and still maintaining all of this, this balance between the two, and leveraging both of them.
Yeah. I think, so you talk about this a lot and we've had conversations about like a growth mindset.
Yeah.
And it even touches into what I just said. It's like, what can I do to make positive progress in everything that I'm doing? So like with my 9-to-5, you know, one of the great things that a lot of people don't even leverage is a lot of your companies will pay for you to go to an external training or to do a training, like anything, like understanding like how you can learn and how you can kind of propel yourself wherever you are. And maybe, you know, you have a position that you hate doing. You're janitor, you mop floors. I don't know. You hate doing it. But what can you learn, or what can you use this opportunity that you're in to move forward? Okay, maybe I'm a janitor, but I'm always like mopping the CIO's office. What questions can I ask him?
Exactly.
I'm always like, when I'm in the cafeteria cleaning up, who can I sit down and have a conversation with? And it's always trying to apply like a mindset of, I'm not where I want to be yet. What can I do to get there? And what tools and resources and conversations can I have to get there? Yeah. And I think that goes whatever you're doing. Like, it could be in your community. It can be like in the gym. Like, okay, I'm benching, you know, this amount. What do I need to do to bench more?
Exactly.
And there's always a process. There's always tools. There's always people. There's always resources that you can leverage to get from point A to point B.
Yeah. That touches, you hit the word resource, and I keep touching on ideas that I have in the morning that I do from a mindfulness. And I, again, if you want to go follow me on my social media, I've been doing a lot of tweets, and it's just my morning routine that I do, and I've been sharing that. But I said, we don't have the resources. People think they don't have the resources, but they're just not being resourceful.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think that's something that I see is just not a growth mindset in being in this space and really kind of taking two deep breaths or six deep breaths, whatever you need to do. And look around you and be like, okay, this is not the best situation. I'm not enjoying this, but okay, what positives or wins can I create out of this situation that I'm in? And who can I find that has that energy and being pulled in different directions?
And that made me think, like, so doing the work that I do in my 9-to-5 in the diversity space, that's kind of the add-on from the IT consulting. But I got into that position because I was curious. I'm trying to remember that exact story. I think I was talking to one of the partners at my company, and I was just like, oh, you know, diversity is one of our core values, but I don't see us bringing in a lot of diverse people. I can't remember the question that I asked, but I just simply asked the question. And then he kind of inquired a little bit more. And then I put either an email or a two-slide deck together. I'm like, maybe you should think about recruiting at diverse schools, or maybe you should think about, you know, X, Y, and Z. I sent that to him. And then the next thing I know, I'm getting calls from partners like, hey, would you want to lead our diversity council and like apply some of these ideas that you have to the company? So it was me I shouldn't say not being happy, but like not settling for where we were, being curious, having that growth mindset, asking the question. And then that led me into what I'm most passionate about. Now diversity and workplace diversity, that's what I go to work for. And IT consulting is my add-on because I'm passionate about it. I like what I'm doing. So yeah, it's just like being curious, taking the next step, being proactive, and having that growth mindset.
Good man. Ooh.
Two deep breaths, six deep breaths.
Yeah, six deep breaths right now. This is my interest, guys. And I just love the fact that the B is using this to really leverage both. And I think many people struggle with that. They're struggling with the mental piece and the stress piece of balancing all these things that they're maybe wanting to do, but they're, if you go listen to my last episode, imposter syndrome, what they're being scared of because of what people might think if they ask the wrong question.
Right.
Or they are curious about why isn't this being done, or, you know, why is this person over here doing this and I want to kind of do that. And they're afraid of what people will think. So maybe a question for you is, you know, how do you remove that from just that curiosity piece? How do you remove that from being, you know, held back from asking those questions and being more forefront with your beliefs?
Yeah. I think the first thing is confidence.
Yep.
And you touched on that on your last episode. Just you're in the position that you're not in the position that you're in by luck.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever position that it might be, you either had to interview, somebody had to recommend, somebody had to vouch for you. Like, you are credible in your position.
Yeah.
So it's understanding that. That's the first piece.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I first got into the workplace after college, I felt like I had to dress a certain way. I felt like I always had to wear blazers. I wore my glasses because I didn't want to come off as younger.
Yeah.
We talk about code switching. I just wouldn't even talk like I normally talked.
Yeah.
And that was, it was stressful. Like, I'm spending more time thinking about, like, how I need to be than actually doing the work that I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And once I kind of realized that, okay, I'm not in this situation by happenstance.
Like, yes.
Somebody put me here, somebody vouched for me, and my, whatever, like, my background, it helped me get here.
Mm.
Let me put my guard down a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me be myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I started wearing a part in my hair.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Just let them
sometimes
see that.
I wear my earring. Like, I'm comfortable being myself, and mm-hmm. when I'm comfortable being myself, I do better work.
Mm. Mm.
And when I do better work, I'm now more apt to be put in the next position.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and now, okay, so now I'm getting promoted, now I'm getting raises,
yeah.
now I have, you know, respect from higher ups in my company. Now that I'm in that next position, I'm getting more opportunities. Now that I have more opportunities, I can go the direction that I want. And I'm talking about my 9-to-5, but this applies everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It applies in, you know, in your side hustles, in your business, in your relationships. Like, being, like, taking the guard down a little bit, being authentic, being yourself, you'll do better work, you'll progress, and you'll have more opportunities.
Man, I think that touches me a lot too, man, because that's what I struggle with, coming from such a professional environment in the healthcare space and stepping out and kind of doing fitness and then translating that into more of a holistic approach, and I'm wearing suits and people are like, well, that doesn't really pitify this, like, you know, health wellness kind of look. But I thought that's what I needed to look like to be credible. And many people told me that, and I struggled with it, you know, and I think now that I've let down my guard, like, the knowledge base comes out
forefront.
Like, people see that, and people just want that knowledge and that authentic self from whoever they're looking to gain information from.
Absolutely.
All right, so as you see, guys, he's doing a lot in his outside of his 9-to-5, I should say. And many of us are still trying to transition outside of that 9-to-5. And many of you that are listening today still have that 9-to-5 and you're looking to transition. And that can be a discussion maybe that you reach out to B, or, you know, just reach out to our podcast. We can definitely point you in the right direction. But what we really want to dive into today is the discussion in the future of tech in the healthcare space. So where do you think, now that we have that inclusion within our workspace, and you're in now the, maybe some of your life sciences clients, where have you seen the change in healthcare with now tech moving from social media? We have, you know, all kind of control in the palm of our hands now. What have you seen just in that space? Like, what does that look like from a tech space in healthcare?
Yeah. I think the intersection between, like, there's always been an intersection between like tech and healthcare.
Yeah.
But I think moving forward, it's going to grow in a similar fashion to how consumer products companies are starting to leverage tech. So any company will tell you that, you know, the biggest thing that they're looking at is the dollar. Like, companies need to make money, right?
Exactly.
And now we're starting to move in the direction, and I say starting to move, we're already here, where the dollar is in the data. The more data that you have, the more money you can make at the end of the day. The better you understand your employee or your patient or your consumer or your customer, whoever's buying your product, the more you can understand them, the more money you can ultimately make. That ties to your marketing. Yeah. It ties to, especially in the healthcare space, it ties to, like, customized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I know you are a, you know, a black customer or a Hispanic customer or a woman in a certain part of the country, I know how to market my medicine to you from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of companies are going to start focusing on collecting data from a company perspective.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I think personalized medicine is going to be huge in the future.
Yeah.
The better I can understand what Brandon Miller needs, what type of medicine he needs, what type of diseases he is more likely to have, what type of health issues he's more likely to have, I can now create medicine for Brandon, and I can market it to Brandon and sell it to Brandon.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's going to be the direction a lot of these healthcare companies, especially pharmaceutical companies, are going to go.
Yeah. Man, I love that. I think that resonates with me so much, just because, as you guys know, me used to being in the direct pharmaceutical industry field, I should say, as a doctor of pharmacy, and seeing that retail space of electronic medical records, EMRs for short, and just that data collection. But I think what is being done is a lot of you guys are healthcare professionals or wellness professionals, or even if you're in the corporate space, you're seeing now that these things are not, you're falling behind on the tech space, meaning you're not understanding what's going on. So I guess my question to you would be, where do you think the healthcare professional could be more knowledgeable or gain more knowledge and not lose their identity per se from the business boom of what's going on in tech? I think that's huge, especially for some wellness professionals that are feeling like, man, like, am I going to get, you know, pushed aside now because the robots and AI are going to take over and stuff? So where do you think, maybe from your standpoint, you see this?
Yeah, and this is kind of my blanket perspective, is that across all industries and across all fields, we're going to have to learn how to consume and understand technology and then how to translate that to the people that we're working with. So as a healthcare professional, how can I leverage EMR and like everyday technology that we're using and then kind of educate who I'm working with, whether that's a patient or a customer, and use that tool for them?
Yeah.
So for example, like I'm seeing a lot of professionals starting to leverage like telehealth platforms where I can now like basically FaceTime my doctor and have like all of my electronic medical records like on the screen, or I can pull that from like my Apple Health Kit, I think. And starting to leverage things that I'm already using to communicate to my doctor, and then my doctor can then communicate to me. And I think I'm starting to see a lot more like applications and technology platforms that I'm using are kind of cutting out the middleman and helping professionals directly talk to the customers or their patients.
Yeah. So guys, I think that's something to take into consideration. The tech is not going anywhere. And again, what Brandon was saying is leveraging that to your ability to better serve those people that you really want to serve if you are a healthcare professional. I think if you, now let's switch that to now more of a corporate business space. If they are, just say in your shoe, they are a consultant or somebody in the business space, what is something that, you know, they could maybe look out for or better educate themselves? Or how do you educate yourself on these things that are going on?
Yeah, the number one thing that I use to kind of get educated in the space or like get smart real quick are like two resources. The first would be you can understand everything you need to know about a company and a company's direction, especially public companies, by looking at their like annual reports. They'll always report on their market share, they'll report on the customers that they're targeting, they'll always talk about, you know, to their shareholders the direction we're going as a company, like where we're focusing on, where we're placing our bets. Any public company, just look at their annual report and you'll learn so much about the direction that they're going. But then it's also looking at like supplemental resources, whether that's articles, that's trends. I use, like, I have an app called Flipboard that basically categorizes my news for me. So like in Flipboard, I have a healthcare channel, I have a branding channel, I have a fitness channel, and it'll pull in like relevant news articles leveraging technology and artificial intelligence that like I need to engage with or that I want to engage with. So I get a lot of information from that. I learn a lot about like artificial intelligence from that, different studies that are going on from that. So those two kind of platforms will give me, you know, a good like 85% of what I need to know to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
And that's Flipboard.
Flipboard.
So notate that, guys. That'll be down in the show notes as well. But
and Flipboard, if you're listening, you know, cut me a check.
I love that. So we're going to shift the focus a little bit, guys. And I hope you got some awesome value out of that. I hope you took some notes, replay it, whoever. If you're going to share it now, go ahead and do it. And thank you guys for sticking around. So B has got a lot of things going on, as we've already discussed, right? We've gone into tech, we've gone into diversity, we touched a little bit about what he's doing in outside of his 9-to-5. So let's touch a little bit about how you're balancing all this, man. I think a big thing for me, as you already guys, as you know already, is mindfulness, is a mental, being in a positive mental space, for being able to juggle all this and have a balance in life. So can you kind of touch on what you're doing, you know, to balance all this stuff, man?
Yeah. So I think like an engineer, I think like a consultant.
Yeah, yeah.
But I kind of categorize it into like people and process. So from a people aspect, I make sure that, you know, to make sure that I am in the right mindset that I need to be in to be successful in everything that I'm doing, I have the right company that I keep. So I surround myself with positivity.
Yeah.
I make sure that I surround myself with people that not only have their best interests, but they have my interests at heart too. So like my closest friends, which, hey B, how you doing? You good?
Yeah.
No B, like, don't just say you're good. Like, why are you good? Are you sure you're good? Like, they'll really check on me. And that's family and friends. I think that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
And then also just taking time for myself. So for me, what that looks like is like every morning before I get on social media, before I do anything, like I do a devotional, I read the Bible, I do something to kind of center myself and start my day off with positivity. Because yeah. I feel like, and I don't know if you agree, like I'm a huge, you know, I think momentum kind of carries on. So if you start your day with positive momentum, then you're going to be good to go for that day. Like you're going to have the energy, you're going to have the positive mindset, you're filled with positive thoughts. So I make sure that I do that first and foremost. And then I'm always like in the gym in my free time. So that's kind of how I see your Instagram. They see your Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. But as you guys have heard, B has touched a lot on accountability. Yeah. And that's his hashtag. So if you want to search hashtag accountability, I have all of his stuff in the show notes. So go grab some merch too.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah. So I definitely agree with that, as you stated. I quoted something the other day on my Instagram talking about starting your day off on offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of us started on defense. We wake up and we, you know, start on our phones and we start on emails. We're jumping, we're running out the door. Many people that have the 9-to-5, or even if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you just get right to the emails, open the computer, and you never take time to yourself, and you're always in defense mode. So yeah. I think that's one big thing to take away. And if you want to connect with us guys or listen to the other episodes, we dove a little bit into that a little bit more. But B, what would you like to leave us with today, man? Maybe some lasting words where they can find you as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'd just love to hear from you, man.
Parting words. Pressure. And I would use like the parting words that I always kind of leave, which is understanding that there's so much going on, right? There's so many distractions. With social media especially, you know, what you should look like, what you should be doing, what you should be interested in, where you should be in the workplace, where you should be in your relationships and things like that. My biggest advice is always figure out what you're truly passionate about. We're always doing things that, you know, we think we should be passionate about.
Yeah.
But like truly sitting and like, what do I want to do, or what do I want my legacy to be, and finding out what that passion is, and making sure that you're marching in that direction, and don't rush to get there. We always want like microwave success. Like we always want, you know, to be a millionaire tomorrow and to be an overnight success and have the swipe up feature on Instagram. Like we always want these things.
Yeah.
But we don't take the time that it takes to get from point A to point B. So I've been saying this a lot, like my kind of theme for 2019 is trust the process, enjoy the journey. Like you'll get there. So I guess those would be my parting words.
Yeah.
We went from like healthcare and like AI to like, philosophical. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was an awesome transition, man.
And where you can find me, I have everything. So links to all of my businesses and, the brands that I work with, on my website, which is brandonemiller.com. And then you can follow me on Instagram and all social platforms at That Guy B Mills. That's BMILLS. And then you'll be able to link out from there to all of the different platforms.
Awesome. So as always, guys, all of Brandon's info will be down in the show notes. And please go follow this brother, man. He's become a good friend of mine. Actually, we connected through one of my line brothers, one of my fraternity line brothers, and he said, "Man, you need to, you know, follow this guy. Yeah, he's right in your neighborhood." And I think We've grown over 2018. I've been a part of, you know, a couple of his events and been a panelist. And, you know, we've talked going into this year, right?
Absolutely.
About how we're going to build and, you know, just support each other in what we're doing in each of our platforms. And just reach and touch each of you guys, of course, on this platform to, as I always say, evolve you into the best version of yourself. So thank you guys so much again for listening into this episode. Please share it out to anyone you feel like will benefit from it. And again, we'll see you guys in the next episode.